And you?
Minister, we are on top of the moon. We have the iceberg appointed. Congratulations. We have the firearm amnesty starting 1st of August. That's the time for delivery.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad about the arrest that happened in your province for those people that killed the elderly farm community. We have arrested five people there.
Yes, Minister, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
It was a gruesome, it was really brutal for those people. And my problem, they didn't take anything.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand those murders, eh?
Yeah, they just took a runaway car, and all those people are working in the nearby farm, so they know the old man, they know everybody.
Most of these crimes are committed with people we know, even gender violence. Yeah. In the house by family members, by neighbors, friends.
Just don't know.
The social fabric of our society is
different. Here we are with the very business. With the very best time.
Yes. We are all on time. Could I get an indication if we have a quorum? Babawa, over.
Morning. Yes, we do have a quorum. You can start.
Good morning, honorable members. Welcome to the portfolio committee. I would like to formally for the manner in which we presented of the Albert Group. Congratulations to the new executive director. We have a woman, and I think that it opens really well to women and the executive. Congratulations to the minister and thank you to the members of the portfolio committee as well as our parliamentary. Second achievement yesterday was the approval of the firearm amnesty. The amnesty and I think we on the fire of the
honorable members. DM, are you there in Zanini? Are you okay there?
Minister, DM is still trying to connect.
Yeah, it's difficult from Zanini. No, that's fine. Have you connected, DM?
Yes, I've connected, General.
Next time I'll connect from Mzumbe myself.
A formal word of welcome to the DM and Minister, please don't out of order take over by
thank you, Chair. Order well taken. Morning, honorable members. Morning, the management of the South African Police. Chairperson, by look of things, we are much earlier than normal time of releasing the annual stats that will be 2019-2020. The change comes from the decision that has been already taken by the cabinet that the release of the stats will be quarterly now. It won't be annual. So it will be the timetable of the quarter when they'll be released will be given. So we had to release this earlier because the first quarter of the next lot will be on the 14th of August. So we have to deal. We have to deal with 2019-2020, so that we go to the new. The decision taken of release quarterly comes from the resolution of the cabinet that was taken June 2016. Ours was to implement it as is now. So that change comes from there, Chairperson. I thought it would be good to preamble that. With that understanding, so that members can know why this change. Having said that, then I will hand over to General Stole with his team, which I guess will be General Skukuni, that will lead us on an abridged, statistics. That the members were sent. There will be a full volume, but there is enough one now that where they'll take us through when it comes to media. If I can hand over, with your permission, Chair, hand over to Gerard Stoll and the team where they are.
Thank you very much, Gerard Stoll. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, as well as the Deputy Minister. Honorable Chair, I will briefly start with the introduction of the team on connection. I've got with me Lieutenant General Libya, National Head of Hawks. Lieutenant General Masemula, Deputy National Commissioner Policing, Lieutenant General Mbazi, Deputy National Commissioner Crime Detection, Lieutenant General Sembe, Visible Policing, Lieutenant General Mkwanazi, ORS, Lieutenant General TC Musigidi, Divisional Commissioner Detective Services, Major General TN Sikukuni, Component Head Crime Registrar, Major General Rabi, Component Head Strategic Management, Major General Jane Mutubatse, Executive Support Office of the National Commissioner, Brigadier Malachi, Crime Registrar, Brigadier S. Naidu, Spokesperson, National Commissioner, Brigadier Alice Marasela, Executive Component of the National Commissioner, Kenneth B. Deputy Parliamentary Strategic Management. Honorable Chair, as the Minister has indicated, we are going to present the abridged version of the crime stats, which I think is a strategic picture. We're going to be able to avail the long version after the Minister has released the crime stats, which provides more details, and that is for operational reasons. In general, Chair, crime has decreased -2.7%.
My apologies, I will need to interrupt you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm sorry, Chair. No, Chair, the head of crime intelligence is on leave, but crime intelligence is represented here. General Khan is in attendance.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Then, Chair, from the stabilization and normalization point of view, I think three of the heavyweights or the heavy contributing provinces has actually been stabilized. One, we managed to stabilize the Western Cape, which is one of the most notorious provinces when it came to murders and quite a lot. Then the Eastern Cape has also stabilized. Gauteng has also stabilized. All the three are on normalization and they're following the geographical approach. The province that is now a focus is KZN. I think KZN is the crime is rising. Then of the top 30 stations, more than 12 have stabilized of the top 30. And those particular stations are also going to be put on the normalization program. There's some few new police stations that are coming through the criteria, but we are working on. And with your permission, Chair, I would like to hand over the floor to General Skukuni so that he can take the committee through. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. You may continue.
When the presentation to say that, or Kevin?
Chair, we're just waiting for the presentation to show up, and as soon as it shows up, General Skukuni is going to continue. We apologize for the little delay. Can I confirm, Chair, whether you can see the presentation?
Hello, there we are.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Minister and Honorable Members. I will be taking the committee through the annual crime situation for the police recorded crime statistics for the period 1st April 2019 to the 31st March 2020. In the first slide, as has been the norm, we are giving the broad overview of the 17 community reported crimes and also the 4 crimes detected as a result of police action. We are giving this picture as always.
Chair, doesn't look like they are showing us the proper slides. They are talking. They are talking to something different.
Go to slide 1. We apologize, Chair. We're trying to correct. We are now on slide 1. Can you see it, Chair?
Doing my Check this one.
Chair, can you see slide one? Slide one, the highlights on the four broad categories making up the 17 community crimes.
We also follow
it seems there's a network problem, Che. We just wanna confirm whether the committee can see the slide one of the presentation. Oh, thank you very much. The statistician will proceed. Why are you changing? We're trying to control the sound, Chair, and see if it will get better. Am I getting better, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair. Honorable Chair.
Yes.
Is it possible for them just to increase the font?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is not just
We apologize, we cannot be able to increase the font. On slide mode, we can try to make the slide smaller. Is it getting better, Chair?
Perfect.
Thank you very much. Skukuni will now take the floor. We apologize for the inconvenience. Thank you, Chair.
It's better now.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The slide that we are looking at, as has been the norm, is a slide where we give an overview of the 17 community reported crimes for the country for a 10-year trend. The very first row in this slide is the crime murder, where in the current financial year we had recorded 21,325 murders. That is an increase of 303 bodies more than the previous financial year, resulting in a percentage increase of 1.4%. The second crime that is in row two is sexual offenses, where we had in the 2019-2020 financial year have recorded 53,293. That is 873 counts more than the previous year, leading to a 1.7% increase. Then thirdly, is the attempted murder, where in the 2019-2020 we have recorded 18,635, that is a reduction of 345 or a percentage decrease of 1.8. Then assault with intent to inflict grievous bodily harm, we have recorded 166,720 counts, that is a reduction of 4,259 or a percentage decrease of 2.5%. Then for common assault, we have recorded an increase of 3,482. That is, we moved from 162,012 in 2018-19, and the current financial year we recorded 165,494. Then the next crime is common robbery, where common robbery we have increased by 60, that is from 51,765 to 51,825, or 0.1% increase. Then the next crime is robbery with aggravating circumstances, where we have recorded an increase of 3,958 from 140,000 in 2018-19 to 143,990 in the financial year 2019-2020. Then the broad category of total contact crimes, it has increased by 4,072 from 617,210 in 2018-19 to 621,282 in 2019-2020. Then the subcategories of sexual offenses, which is disaggregated into rape, sexual assault, attempted sexual offenses, and contact sexual offenses, which have we have already touched on when we were on the second row where we explained the sexual offenses. Rape has increased by 706 counts from 41,583 to 42,289. Then sexual assault has increased from 7,437 to 7,749, an increase of 312 counts. And then attempted sexual offenses has decreased by 70 counts from 21,046 to 2,146 to 2076. Then the broad category of total sexual offenses increased by 873, that is from 52,420 to 53,293. Then the subcategories of robbery aggravating, which are made up of carjacking, robbery at residential, robbery at non-residential, robbery of cash in transit, bank robbery, truck hijacking, we have already touched it on row number 6 in the top table. Carjacking in the current financial year has increased by 2,136 counts, and then robbery at the residential premises has decreased by 1,301. Robbery at non-residential premises increased by 660, and robbery of cash in transit has decreased by 19, that is from 183 in 2018-19 to 164 in the 2019-2020 financial year, a decrease of 10.4%. We did not have any bank robberies in the current financial year, whereas in the 2018-2019 financial year, we had 4 bank robberies, and currently there are 0. So the reduction there is minus 4. Then truck hijacking, we had recorded an increase of 20 counts more from 1,182 in 2018-19 to 1,202 in 2019-2020. Then in terms of the broad category of contact-related crimes, which is made up of arson and malicious damage to property, all the two crimes that make up this broad category have decreased, with arson decreasing by 300 counts from 4,083 in 2018-19 to 3,783 in 2019-2020. Then malicious damage to property moved from 113,089 to 108,461, a reduction of counts of 4,628, that is a 4.1% decrease. Overall, the broad category of contact-related crimes decreased by counts of 4,928, that is a percentage reduction of 4.2%. Then the next broad category is the category called property-related crimes, which is made up of burglary at non-residential premises and burglary at residential premises, theft of motor vehicle and motorcycle, theft out of or from motor vehicle, and stock theft. The crime of burglary at non-residential premises decreased by 1,511 counts, a 2.1% reduction. That is from 71,224 to 69,713. Then burglary at residential premises moved from 220,865 to 205,959, a reduction of 14,906 counts at a percentage decrease of 6.7. Then theft of motor vehicle and motorcycle, we moved from 48,328 to 46,921, a reduction of 1,403 counts and a percentage decrease of 2.9. Then theft out of or from motor vehicle and motorcycle, we moved from 125,076 to 118,201, a reduction of 6,863 counts and a percentage decrease of 5.5. Then stock theft, which in the previous 3 years have been increasing for the past 3 years, we have managed to turn that around, whereby in the previous financial year, we had 29,672 counts. Currently, we have 28,401. That is a reduction of 1,254 counts and a percentage reduction of 4.2. Overall, the broad category of property-related crimes decreased by 25,937 counts, a percentage decrease of 5.2. That is, in 2018-19, we had 495,161. Currently, we have 469,224. Then, in the broad category of other serious crimes, which is made up of all theft not mentioned elsewhere, commercial crime, and shoplifting. The all theft not mentioned elsewhere, it has decreased by 17,640 counts, a percentage reduction of 5.9, from 300,457 in the 2018-19 financial year to 282,817 in the 2019-2020 financial year. Unfortunately, the commercial crimes have increased by 46 counts, from 83,823 to 83,669. Then shoplifting decreased by 284 counts, from 60,167 to 59,883. Overall, the broad category of total other serious crimes moved from 444,447 to 426,569, a reduction of 17,878 and a percentage decrease of 4.0. And overall, these four broad categories make up what we have termed the total 17 community reported crimes. So for the 17 community reported crimes, we had recorded 1,673,990 counts in the 2018-19 financial year And in the 2019-2020, we had recorded 1,629,319. That is a reduction of 44,671 counts, or a percentage reduction of 2.7. Then the four crimes which are termed crimes detected as a result of police action, made up of illegal possession of firearm and ammunition, drug-related crimes, driving under the influence of alcohol and or drugs, sexual offenses detected as a result of police action. Illegal possession of firearms and ammunition, we had managed to retrieve more firearms from the hands of the criminal, that is 43 more, from 2018-19 was 15,736, 2019-2020 it's 15,779, that is 43 counts more. Then drug-related crimes have gone down by 62,147, that is a 26.7% reduction. Then driving under the influence of alcohol and or drugs, in the 2018-2019 financial year, we had 82,912. Currently, we have increased that to 84,273. That is, we have arrested more 11,361 counts for that offense. Then, sexual offenses detected as a result of police action, we had in the 2018-19, 7,976. In the 2019-2020, we had increased that to 9,614, an increase of 1,638. But overall, the total crime detected as a result of police action due to the reduction in the drugs, it has gone down by 49,105. That is a percentage reduction of 14.9. Then going to the next slide. The next slide is a graphic presentation of the table whereby we have just the summed up the 17 community reported crimes over a 10-year period. From 2010-2011, where we had 1,816,350 counts, to 2019-20, where we had recorded 1,629,319 counts. But from 2012-2013, there was a decrease for five consecutive years that is shown in the green from 510 to 76,165. And then in the 2018-19 financial year, we recorded an increase of 11,175. And then in the current financial year, we have managed to turn that increase to a decrease of 44,671. That is a percentage reduction of 2.7%. That is from 1,673,990. We are now sitting at 1,629,319. The 17 community reported crimes at the bottom there of this graph, we have the provincial breakdown in terms of the cumulative of the 17 community reported crimes. These crimes have decreased across all the nine provinces, with the biggest numerical difference recorded in the Western Cape of 16,932, and then the Gauteng was next with 10,946, and Northwest was third with 6,267. In the next slide, we look at the broad category of the contact crimes, which is made up in the big table at the first slide of your murder, sexual offenses, attempted murders, robberies, both aggravating and common, and then assault, both common and GBH. Over the 10 year, in 2010-2011, we were at 633,228. Currently, we are sitting at 621,282. There had been increases of two consecutive years. In 2018-19, we increased by 15,844. And in the current financial year, 2020, we increased by 4,072. Then at the bottom there, we have the provincial breakdown. Where five provinces have recorded a decrease in the contact crimes, with the Northwest recording the largest numerical decrease of 1,201, and then Free State was second with a numerical difference of 820, and then Limpopo and Western Cape both decreased by 486 in Limpopo, and Gauteng decreased by Limpopo decreased by 486 and Western Cape decreased by 479. Provinces that have increased was Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape. KZN and Gauteng, which are here close to each other, are the only two provinces that have recorded four-digit increases of 3,649 and 2,843, respectively. While Mpumalanga and Eastern Cape recorded a three-digit increase, with Mpumalanga recording an increase of 737 and the Eastern Cape recording an increase of 129. Overall, the contact crimes increased by 4,072 counts. Then in the next slide, what I would like to bring your attention to is the fact that these figures should be regarded as preliminary figures for crimes against women and children, as they currently still include cases that are closed off as unfounded, and hence the validation and the verification process is still outstanding. We couldn't finalize the verification due to some of the stations closing down due to COVID-19. Once the situation improves and we have access to all the dockets and the police stations, we will then go in and verify, and then we will then issue a revised and updated slide on crimes against women and children. The bottom table, it shows the contact crimes against women, and the top table is the crimes against women, and the bottom table is the crimes against children. These are only the contact crimes. The murder of women has decreased by 76 counts. That is the preliminary figures that I'm talking about. Sexual offenses has decreased by 5,497. Attempted murder decreased by 270, 231, common assault GBA decreased by 3,283, common assault increased by 474, and the total contact crimes against women decreased by 8,613. Then, with regard to the crimes against children, the murders of children has gone down by 71, the sexual offences gone down by 2,317, attempted murder gone down by 47, assault GBH by 309, and common assault by 137. So overall, total contact crimes against children, preliminary figures indicate that they have gone down by 2,881. And as I've already mentioned, once the situation with COVID-19 improves, we will then be in a position to go in and physically verify using the dockets and then issue an updated slide on the crimes against women and children. Then we look at the protective factors for some of the categories of contact crime. On the left-hand side, these are what we call the causative factors that we looked as the contributory factors to the crimes that we have been observing. We looked at the crimes of four crimes, that is common assault, assault GBH, attempted murders, and murders. So on the left-hand side, when we looked at the contributory factor or causative factor of what we termed arguments or misunderstanding, that is in instances where both the victim and the perpetrator do not have any domestic relationship, we discovered that these contributed 37,876 counts to common assault. The very same causative factor contributed 31,699 to assault GBH, and to attempted murder was 2,974, and to murder 3,447. Among the causative factors that was explicitly mentioned in the docket or on the system when we looked for causative factors, the arguments or misunderstanding was the one that contributed the highest among those that were exclusively mentioned. Overall, the causative factor of arguments and misunderstanding contributed 75,996 across the four crimes that we have indicated. This was then followed by the causative factor of domestic related. That is, in an instance whereby there's some kind of a relationship between the victim and the perpetrator, either boyfriend, girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, brother, sister, ex-husband, ex-wife. These domestic related contributed 21,344 counts to common assault. Then it contributed 14,907 to assault GBH, then 923 to attempted murders, and 1,482 to the murders. Overall, this causative factor contributed 38,656 across the four crime categories. Then retaliation or revenge contributed 3,126 to common assault, 2,674 to assault GBH, 526 to attempted murder, and 782 murders were attributed to retaliation or revenge. And this phenomenon contributed 7,108 across the four crime categories. Then the next category is robberies, which include house robberies, business robberies, and robberies that happened on the street. This phenomenon contributed 271 to common assault, 1,146 assault GBH, 2,841 attempted murders, 1,062 murders. Then vigilantism or mob justice contributed 595 to common assault, 1,867 assault GBH, 224 attempted murders, 1,202 murders. The phenomenon of gang-related contributed 905 to the murders, attempted murders 1,248, assault GBH 97, and common assault 40. And in terms of the province that has recorded the highest in terms of gang-related, it was again the Western Cape, which had the highest. Then we had 82 murders that were as a result of rape. Then we had 9 murders that happened as a result of bullying at school. 3 of the murders were as a result of prison fights. 271 murders were as a result of taxi-related violence. 43 were as a result of factional fights. 9 murders were as a result of service delivery protests. 35 murders were labor-related. 8 were witchcraft related in some instances, including harvesting of the parts. 80 of the murders were as a result of the phenomenon of illicit mining. 2 were multi-related. Antagonism towards foreigners was 8, and 21 was politically related murders. So in terms of the ranking for murder, the highest contributor is arguments or misunderstanding not related to domestic violence, then followed by domestic related with 1,482, mob justice with 1,202, robbery with 1,061, gang related with 905, and revenge with 782. Then when you look at the ranking from attempted murder in terms of causative factors from murder to attempted murder, the arguments were the highest in terms of contributing to attempted murders with 2,974, followed by robberies at 2,841, then gang-related with 1,248, then domestic-related with 923, revenge related with 526, and mob justice with 224.
How do I get to that? Next slide. Someone dropped the point.
Sorry, Chair, we move the slide.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah,
sure.
Then the
Chairperson, through you, can I ask that the team move faster looking at the time?
All right, thanks, Minister. The next category that we look at was liquor and drug related offenses, whereby we looked at confirmed liquor cases attributing to contact crimes. Assault GBH due to liquor cases, it recorded 19,843. Common assault due to liquor cases was 8,755. Rapes was 2,859. Murders was 1,430 as a result of liquor cases. Attempted murders was 1,294. These are instances whereby it was explicitly mentioned in the docket that either the perpetrator or the victim had used alcohol prior to committing the particular crime. Then when we looked at the places where we had confirmed liquor cases at liquor outlets, where we looked at Chebin's, taverns, pubs, nightclubs and bars, 342 rapes happened at such facilities, 6,298 common assault happened at a Chebin, tavern, pub, nightclub or bar, 11,128 assault GBH, attempted murders were 838, and 844 murders happened at either a Chebin, a tavern, a pub, nightclub or a bar. Then the next slide, we try to look at the place of occurrence of the four crime categories, which is the five crimes, which are rape, common assault, assault GBH, attempted murder, and murders. For place where we have residence of the perpetrator contributed 5,522 to the murders, and 18,231 rapes happened at the residence either of the perpetrator or a victim, or including residents known by the victim, perpetrator, or family or friends. Then 9,714 murders happened in public places. 853 of the murders, as I already indicated, happened at the liquor outlets. 467 of the murders happened at the business premises. 88 of the murders happened at either a river, a lake, or a pool. So these are the breakdown whereby it was explicitly mentioned where each of these particular crime types happened. Where in an instance where it was mentioned that it was unknown, we did not factor that into the presentation. Then we looked at the 10-year trend in terms of the murders that we have recorded from 2010, 2011 to 2019, 2020. The murders in 2010, 2011, we started from 15,893, and currently we are sitting at 21,325. That is a percentage increase of 1.4%. What is worth mentioning is that in the 2017-2018, we had an increase of 1,320 murders. In 2018-19, we then had an increase of 686, and currently in the 2019-2020 financial year, the murders have increased by 303. Then in terms of the provincial breakdown, the five provinces that have recorded increases, with the highest increase happening in KwaZulu-Natal with 464 murders more, followed by Gauteng with 60 murders more, Mpumalanga with 50 murders more, Northern Cape with 4 murders more, and the Western Cape had only one additional murder. Overall, the murders increased by 303 counts, or 1.4% increase. Then, when we look at the murders of police officials, 73 police officials were killed in the current financial year, whereby 35 of these police officials were killed while they were on duty, and 38 were killed while they were off duty. For those that were killed while they were on duty, it was an increase of 7 counts from 28 to 35 murders, and those that were killed while they were off duty decreased from 49 to 38. In terms of the provincial breakdown, KwaZulu-Natal had the highest number of murders that were killed on duty, that is 11, while Gauteng has the highest number of police officials, again 11, that were killed while they were on duty. Then in terms of murder and violence on farms and small holdings, we had the Eastern Cape and the Free State recording 12 murders, and then Limpopo with 9 murders, and then Gauteng with 5 murders, KZN had 5 murders, Western Cape had 3 murders, Northwest had 2 murders, and Mpumalanga only had 1 murder, and the Northern Cape did not have any murder that happened in the current financial year at a farm or small holding. Overall, for the current financial year, we had 49 murders that happened at the farm small holding. That is 2 counts more over the previous financial year, where we had 47 murders that happened at a farm or a small holding. Then the highlights of the trio crimes, which are made up of carjacking, robbery residential, and robbery non-residential. We had 2 years where we had reduced the crime. In 2017-2018, we had a reduction of 1,128, followed by a reduction of 1,164. And in the current financial year, we had an increase of 1,495, or an increase of 2.6. The provinces that have recorded decreases in terms of the trio crimes are Free State, Northwest, and the Northern Cape. And again, KwaZulu-Natal had the highest increase with 687, followed by Gauteng with 627, and the Western Cape with 321. Then stock theft, we have had 3 consecutive years where stock theft was increasing, with 2016-17 having recorded an increase of 2,187. 2017-18, we had an increase of 1,947. 2018-19, we had an increase of 823. And in the current financial year, we have managed a decrease of 1,254. And only 2 provinces have recorded increases in terms of this phenomenon of stock theft, which is Eastern Cape with 64 and the Western Cape with 36. The rest of the 7 provinces all recorded a decrease. And that is the last of the 12 slides that we intended to brief the portfolio committee on. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much for that. We move the Honourable, we have the presentation. Before I take the questions and comments from Honourable Members, allow me to please ask the following question. Serious violent crimes like murder and sexual offences have increased over a 3-year period. The small increases add up to a bigger increase. So how are we going to reduce violent crime by 50% over the next 9 years if the murder rate on going up? My problem is that you are speaking about a 10-year period, but when I add up the 3-year period, then all these small increases are adding up to a bigger increase. My second concern is that the top 30 stations that we have identified, after a year, they are still the same stations, and even though some have a decrease in crime, the top 30 are still on the list. So how can we say that our interventions are working if we still have the same top 30 police stations on the list? Again, if I look at 3 years, and obviously I haven't had the time, and members haven't had the time to study these statistics very well, because we received it today. For murder in 2017-2018, it was on the increase of 6.9%. 2018-2019 by 3.4%. And this financial year by 1.4%. Now, it means for the last 3 years, there's an upward trend developing. For the last 3 years, you were then saying that murder is up by more than 10%. And the comparison of a 10-year picture is not the same as the comparison of the last 3 years. And this makes me very, very worried. There's a collective forcefully commitment by civil society, government, the police, and the social contract that we have on gender-based violence and femicide. This will take a priority as South Africa ushers in the Women's Month. Can we safely say that during this next month, we will be able to show that we are serious about attending to gender-based violence? Those are my four concerns. Honorable members, I'll take your hand. I've seen Honorable Whitson, Honorable Mofoke, Honorable Majozi, Sheikh Imam,
Blanche, Chairperson, I've raised my hand long ago, Groenewald.
Chairperson, and allow me to thank STAPS for the presentation and to thank STAPS and congratulate them on their efforts in moving so swiftly against the brutal farm murders and attacks in the Northern Cape over the weekend. I hope that this is part of a trend of activating the 72-hour activation plan in these rural communities to ensure that we clamp down quickly on these vicious crimes. Chair, I wanted to just find out, usually the crime stats are presented in September as far as I know, so have these stats actually been signed off by Stats South Africa, including the slide which we were told were preliminary figures? Another question, Chair, I think it was the National Police Commissioner, and this is just a clarity. He mentioned that crime decreased overall by -2.1%. If crime decreases by -2.1%, that actually means it's increased by 2.1%. Does he in fact mean that crime has decreased by 2.1%, or has it actually increased by 2.1%? The other question, Chair, and this is where you'll forgive me for, excuse me, for being confused, but in slide 2, or the first slide on the statistics, which give us the 10-year trend or the 10-year overview, rape was up by 1.7%, with over 42,000 incidents of rape. On the fourth slide, which we are told are preliminary figures, which focus only on gender-based violence and paint a really excellent picture of decreases across almost all crime categories relating to gender-based violence and violence against children, rape was down by -15.8%. So up 1.7% in the first slide on the statistics, and then down -15.8% on the fourth slide. What I'm confused about, Chair, is whether STAPS is telling us that 40% of all rapes are against men. Because if you do the maths very quickly, you'll find out that over 16,000 of the total 42,000 rapes must have been against men, if the fourth slide is to be believed. So can we please get a very specific and detailed answer on that, because it paints a very alarming picture, and we need to walk away from this meeting with a clear understanding of what that picture is. And then the last question is, perhaps we can hear from the Hawks about their track record or their statistics on crimes committed against the people of South Africa by corrupt politicians and public servants. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Watson. Honorable Mesh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Also, thank you to the police for giving us stats that give us an idea of what's happening in the country with crime. I have four questions, short questions. The first one, about police officials that were killed. We have about 23 of them. I want to know how many of them resulted in conviction, where the people were responsible for killing these 73 police officials found guilty, or were some discharged, and if there are those that were not found guilty, was it because of poor investigation, or what could be the reason? So the key question is, how many of those who killed the police were found guilty? And the second one has to do with witchcraft-related murders and multi-related murders. How do they separate the two? Are the witchcraft-related murders that have nothing to do with multi, or how do they separate the two? And regarding the harvesting of body parts, are they all related to multi? And if not, what would be the reasons for the harvesting of body parts? The third one, the general said they managed to retrieve firearms from criminals. I want to know whether they have separated the number of firearms retrieved from criminals from those they got from those farm firearm owners who did not maybe want to renew their licenses, or who gave up because it took long for their licenses to be renewed. So how do they differentiate between the two? How many were criminals and how many were those that were not relicensed? And the fourth one, is about truck hijacks. Now, some trucks we know that they are damaged in the process, and some are touched. Now, under malicious damage to property, do they include trucks that were hijacked and damaged, or how do they separate trucks that were, are they reporting twice on trucks that were hijacked and damaged, or those trucks that were hijacked but not damaged are counted separately? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Majosi.
Just not forgetting before Majosi, Chair.
All right. And my apologies, Honorable Mofoke. Honorable Mofoke and then Majosi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation from SAPS. Chair, I want to say that maybe in future we should give ourselves time when we get stairs. I know that we must finish at 10. And I'm worried that there are a lot of slides that one wants to go through those slides and question, because we are really not going to do justice into this. And as much as we appreciate the space, but we must find out. I will start where Honorable Michelle left, about the slide on witchcraft and related and also multi. How are they separated, so that we can get that? And also, you know, there are so many questions into this respect. I know that if you look at provinces, it will record more in Limpopo, as we usually see. Maybe other areas, we don't know. But now when you go to the slide that deals with domestic violence or domestic related issues, Chair, you need to sit down and look at this. This is still worrying. Going down into looking at the issues of rape, for me, there's an increase, and one will want to say, what is this? What are we doing? But something that I asked in the last year term is that why on your reporting you don't have domestic violence register information, because I said, how about having it reported that how many cases were recorded, how many protection orders came out, how many have been prosecuted and withdrawn? Because what is the use of having the domestic violence register in police stations that you are not using? So that we can be able to see whether we are winning this war or people that are withdrawing the cases. Nothing is said even now. Then you go to the issue of trucks and hijacking and all that. I can see that there's a lot that is happening. But also a worry is companies that will allow their trucks to be on the road. And I'll give an example of what happened in the road of Roseling in Pretoria during the week. That a truck from SAB, you know, fell on the side, and everybody was chaotic on the freeway, people collecting liquor and all that. But we are on lockdown, you know. And the question will be, what was this truck doing at that time? Where was it going? Because we know that we are on lockdown of nobody is selling liquor. And that still needs to be answered, because it was something that was not good on the video. Then the bank robbery. I think we should learn. It's not about only police officers that are doing the good job. It's also for banks that have done measures. So the same should happen to truck companies, have escort, because they also have a responsibility. They cause chaos on the road. And Chair, I want to say that the last part is why we don't have a slide that tells us that on people that are rearrested, that are parolees, how many do we have? We have 19,000 that is going to be released, which we are not there yet. And we should be having a slide that will tell us how many are rearrested, because it's clear that somewhere in Cape Town, they are rearrested. And we should know in future what is happening. But as for now, thanks, Chair, but we need time into presentations like this next time, not just an hour and all that. Thank you.
Honourable members, this is one meeting that we cannot run. There is no way in which we can do complete this meeting by 10 o'clock. I am of the view that we should request an indication if this meeting could continue until 11. I know that the minister has another meeting at 11. I'm not sure what time the press conference. But this is, these are detailed questions that members are asking. And these questions necessitate responses. We have about 10 more members who'd like to ask questions. Could I then get an indication in the meantime? You can send it to me on WhatsApp messages. If the meeting could continue until 11. And then could I also give an indication from the minister we could continue until 11. I cannot manage all these questions and responses until 10 o'clock, because it is already 30 minutes past 9. We have 10 more members who would like to ask questions, and you ask them an average 3 to 4 questions each. If we expect the detailed responses, as in this instance, it is tough to say that that could give us written responses. It's just not going to work. We need detailed responses. So I'm going to request that this meeting be allowed to continue until 11. For those members who would like to leave, I'm going to ask that after Honorable De Blanche, I'm going to give my jersey, Casey Mum, and Winston Blanche, and then I'll give the staff an opportunity. Because we want you to really respond
Chairperson?
No. Honorable Minister?
Chairperson, no, we can't be able to stay until 11. We need to have a press briefing at 10. If we need to explain further, we don't have a problem rearranging that meeting for explaining to the portfolio committee. But you must remember that this is a precedent for last 2 years that we have been doing it this way. So it would be a new trend. Don't have a problem coming back to explain. But as I say, we need to have a press briefing at 10, and then there will be other meeting for some of us, but I don't mind cutting that, getting the extension on that to further answer questions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Honourable Majozi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members, the Minister and the SAPS. Mine is short. Thank you for the presentation from the SAPS, but there are issues that are very concerning at the moment. In fact, maybe I agree with Honorable to think that we need more time so that we also get a way forward on how are we going to deal with all those issues, Chairperson. In terms of crime, we've seen that there's an increment in certain provinces, and those provinces have been having that increase all the time. So I'm not sure what is the strategy of SAPS to make sure that they deploy more police force in those areas that show that there is an increment in crime. And also, Chairperson, there's a concern in terms of the stock theft. People are being they steal their stock, and how are we going to deal with that as the SAPS in terms of making sure that we increase the stock theft, Chairperson, because it relates to the people's life and it touches people that's how they live, that is how they keep themselves. On the domestic related violence, Chairperson, I think it's what Honourable Mr. Singh has said, that we have tried, Chairperson, to say, can we get a registry in the police stations where the protection order, if it's registered, then we know that how many have been registered, so that we are able to track also on those protection orders how many of those people who were reported have committed that crime that was reported at that time. So those things, I think those are the things that we'll be able to help us. And also maybe if I can get an explanation, Chairperson, because I was struggling to get in. In terms of the lockdown, I didn't hear on that phase, Chairperson. Since the lockdown has started, maybe that is how they are seeing that there is a decrease on crime in certain provinces. Is it because of the effect of lockdown, or is it because of they've tried some strategies of they've deployed other people there to make sure that they reduce the crime? But in the midst of the lockdown, have they seen a major decrease in terms of crime? And also, Chairperson, the cases of rape is really worrying. And I would like to know if the SAPS has considered getting professional people, hiring professional people who will be in police stations so that they take care of these rape cases and they know what it is that they are dealing with. Maybe they will come up with a registry where everything has to be locked down, because it seems as if we are dealing with police officers who are not even willing to know or to listen to what has happened. And because there are many other rape cases, Chairperson, whom people are still working now and have raped those people, but they are not in jail. So what is happening here? And we want to know that, Chairperson, because now if they get professional help, if I don't know if you feel me.
Thank you, Honorable Faku, at a point of order.
Chairperson, I just want to say that I just listened to the response of the minister. I think it's important, Chair, that it is understood that the police accounts to this portfolio committee. The ministry must give us time to ask all questions. There's nothing wrong in delaying the press briefing for 30 minutes. Let us satisfy ourselves as a committee with all the questions that we have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Faku. Honorable Krunabout also had a point of order.
Yes. And also, my partner said, I raised my hand.
Yes.
I don't know what I have said.
I have noted you, Honorable Mapatri. I will first give Krunabout and then you.
What happened to me now, Chairperson?
These are points of order. I have to first note the points of order. Could I take the point of order from Krunabout and then Mapatri? It's about the time of the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't think we give real justice if we deal with the statistics in this manner. My suggestion is that we schedule a proper committee meeting and where the police can come and answer. It is correct what the Honourable Minister said. At one stage, we as a portfolio committee didn't even receive the crime statistics before the time. In fact, the minister, previous ministers only made an announcement to the journalists and committee members, couldn't even ask questions. So I want to suggest that we stop the meeting. We're not going to get the answers. We're not going to get proper answers. We must make a proper analysis of the statistics. And therefore, I would like to make a proposal to say that we've received the statistics. Let's then schedule another meeting next week and where we can have all the relevant officials with us and that we can have a proper discussion on the statistics. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable members, I would also like you to bear in mind that we are having our two-week constituency period and that today is the last day that we meet. Honourable Mapatri.
Thank you, Chair. I would also wanted to propose that because there are so many people that are going to speak, and maybe some would not be satisfied with the responses and would want to make a follow-up. And the minister would be rushing to the press conference. Much as we appreciate that, at least we get the presentation before it goes out public. That's one thing that we need to appreciate. But I don't think we'll be doing justice, Honorable Chairperson, that we continue with the meeting because they will be rushing, because this is virtual. They will be rushing to go, unless if they are one in one place, they will be rushing to the press conference. So I'm not sure, Chair, whether I know that we have to go to our constituency work. Maybe to have an understanding that we note the presentation. However, we'll still have a time to have a meeting with the department to come and present to us so that we have enough time, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Honorable members, we go to recess. We have had a very long and protracted period of portfolio committees and houses. I take strong exception to the fact that we have to rush through the crime statistics and that a media briefing has to happen when the tax report to the portfolio committee. And the portfolio committee has a responsibility to do its oversight work on this particular matter. I am really relentless. I find this really completely unacceptable. If possible, I would like the Deputy Minister to stay, as well as some of the commissioners, and could I get an indication if this is so? I would like the meeting to continue until 11 o'clock, and the press conference can continue, but the Minister and the staff report to this committee. It is not the first time that we have to rush through crime statistics for a press conference. This is exactly what happened the last time. We rushed through crime statistics. We had a press conference and we had to engage with the statistics, the crime statistics through the media. This is really unacceptable. I'm going to ask that we take Honorable Sheikh Imam and then Honorable Sablan. The meeting will continue until 11. The Deputy Minister and a number of the commissioners will stay and continue until 11. The minister and his team, whoever he needs, will be released by 10 o'clock. Will this be the last time that we have to speak to the
Honorable Chairperson, I'm sorry to speak after you. I will take that order. But I would still request that I agree with several members. There are many areas to discuss. I think if we take one day out of constituency, it will stay. But the order we are giving now, it will continue. But the issue itself will have to be a subject of discussion because this one is new. There was no issue last year on the same thing. But I can see that committee members, they want the new approach. Let's discuss it. But I will request that we still do have just half a day out of constituency to discuss the matter. But I'll take the order as it stands now. That I'll request the few officials, the M to stay anywhere, DM is not in Pretoria, but some of us will still have to drive to the GCIS. But I will take the order. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, could I take Honorable Sheikh Imam?
Chairperson.
Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, still have a point of order.
Yes. May I request that my questions be answered before I leave for the funeral because it's almost 9:30.
Could I just check the Imam and the Blanche as I said and then ask for response?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Minister, and your team for the presentation that you have. Let me welcome the staff to indicates that there's been a reduction in the overall crime rate in the country. However, they allow me to express some concern. There's 58 murders per day in South Africa. And if you look at car hijacking alone, in terms of what I have now picked up is there's about 50 a day in South Africa, and there's about 130 car thefts in South Africa. Could you tell us, in terms of the car hijacking and the motor vehicle theft, what measures are you putting in place together with dealing with, remember there's a market for it and that is why people are speaking and I said, together with the other relevant departments, transport departments and every other role player, particularly the borders and things, that's the first thing. The second thing is that I know, would you be able to at some stage give us statistics on all these crimes that are committed, what percentage of them were firearm related or firearms and equally, the same thing we've noticed that in terms of alcohol, 348 rapes were alcohol related, 6,298 common assaults, and it goes on and on the list. So clearly, you need to tell us what measures are you putting in speaking to the other relevant departments to deal with this. And finally, because I've got a lot of questions, you know, 12 women are raped every day and 14 are sexually assaulted in South Africa. We find that there are weaknesses in the FCS unit. They are not acting optimally or and be able.
that we have for, you know, in terms of sexual violence or gender-based violence in South Africa. And then I'd like you to tell me on farms, do you believe there's something sinister going on? Is it because of the vulnerability of remote farming communities that they are under attack? And I'm still waiting to hear on the women farm murder. Thank you, sir.
Honourable members, I'm going to take the plunge. Could I please ask the members to bear in mind that we are going to go into a two-week period of recess. The House Chair will not allow meetings during this recess, and I am not going to allow meetings during this recess. So when you do ask questions and you do your responses, please bear in mind that we will not meet during the next meeting. I ask the plunge.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, let me start also by appreciating the presentation, but then, Chairperson, I really need to express my discomfort with this meeting at the moment and my serious concerns. You know, the idea that I got is that this meeting was sneaked in. It was never on the program. And then the last thing, you know, we just got mentioned, you know, informed about this meeting. We didn't have the opportunity to, you know, study the documentation that we received properly. And, you know, now we are in a very uncomfortable position in the sense that there is going to be a press conference shortly. And, Chairperson, we are in no position to, you know, convey our thoughts on, you know, to our electorate. Chairperson, really, I don't feel very comfortable what's happening now. And, you know, in the meeting now, we learned that the meeting is now extended with another hour. Chairperson, we don't work like that. We have other commitments on our side as well. Really, I want your serious intervention. Thank you.
Honorable Dr. Blanche, I am trying to intervene to address this matter. I'm cognizant of the fact that this was not a decision. Yes, you are correct. There are applied pressure on everybody to arrange this. So I take full responsibility for what is happening today. I also take full cognizance of the fact that you did not have information and that it was provided for you today. So I am equally uncomfortable with what is happening now. Hence, I ask for an extension of 1 hour. Could I ask that the responses be given by staff now? Venerable Pretoria, you may respond. Chair, you did not give me a time to talk. I raised my hand. Yes, this is the first round.
Oh, okay.
I will give a response and then from the staff. Shembeni and Mapasi. I'm doing this because Honorable Measure has to go to a funeral. You may respond, sir.
Chair, there are, I think, two questions the Honorable Majozi asked about the lockdown statistics. All these stats are for 2019-2020, end of March. So you must remember that the lockdown came on the 27th of March. So they are not part of this. They are not part of these statistics. Those, as she said, she came late. After this, will be given quarterly, and the lockdown statistics then will come under those quotas. So that's a general question that I wanted to ask. The first one, Chairperson, you spoke about the question of what happens in 10 years. So I think it, well, the Chair has made it clear that he is not going to call any meeting now. When the time comes, we will discuss, because I agree there are matters to be discussed. Chairperson, if you look at the figures at the present moment, I think it's the same question asked by Honorable Wilfred. White Fist Party, the police will expand on that, on the 2%. It has been some form of stabilization, some form of the new term of flattening the curve. If you look at the statistics, except the categories that have been raised by member Sheikh on the crime of the car theft and all that, if you look at it, we're trying to stabilize before we go down, we land. As you could see, the figures of murder, indeed, we're from 1,000, went to half of 1,000, went to half of half. That's a trend that we must keep going down. Coming back to the question you raised, what happens in 10 years, it's an issue that will have to be working and giving reports, including the top 20, top 30 stations. There are quite several stations, Honorable Chair, that have moved out of 30, top 30, and unfortunately others, they come out of 30. Some of them, they will still stay at 30, but with the better results. If you look at Nyanga, Chairperson, Nyanga Police Station has never been green. Yes, has moved from number one, is number four, is green, so which means there are stabilization even on those stations that are up there. And there are provinces. If you look at top 30, we almost have only four provinces when it comes to murder that they make top 30. So we will be working on changing those stations as we have begun, and we will be working on the numbers that we go down by 50%. Yes, you have said 9 years to go, but somewhere we had to start with the stopping of hemorrhage, of which we believe we've stopped the hemorrhage. Then we have to go down, landing on the matter in reduction of the cases and the crime as a whole. One member asked about the guns that were found. I think is reverent. The guns we're talking about here are the guns that are found out of the police operations, not the guns that are surrendered. So these are from the operations where police raid, where police find. As you would go to last month, you went to Deep Slot, where we had an operation, we find 11 firearms illegal there. So these we're talking about are those that are found by the police out of operation, not those that are surrendered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I'll give to the staff now. Please bear in mind we are not giving any meetings during the constituency period. So could staff please respond?
Okay, let me start by adding on what the minister has just related on. Firstly, Chair, we are intensifying the stabilization based on the heavyweight hotspots. The focus is on the four provinces, and since those particular provinces has been stabilized, we are now following the normalization approach. In the normalization approach, we are bringing in all the other disciplines, including the communities, so that we can work together with them. And one of the support that will also require, even from the portfolio committee, we want to push for the adoption of the National Crime Prevention Framework. In the National Crime Prevention Framework, we want the provinces to provincialize, to have provincial crime prevention frameworks. We started in the Western Cape workshopping one. We want to proceed throughout all the other provinces, and we want to de-escalate the provincial crime prevention framework to local level so that we can also have the local crime prevention framework, because this is the prevention approach that involves government agencies and civil society working together. And then, Chair, we are also focusing on targeting the syndicates, because most of the crime that we experience at the present moment is committed by organized criminals, both at national and transnational level. Therefore, we're intensifying the unconventional policing approach, which is the OCTA strategy, so that we can destroy the syndicates, and that can help us to come close to the 50% that is a downward trend. And then on the top 30 police stations, what I just wanted to add is an explanation that says most of the top 30 police stations, why do they remain in the top 30 list? It's not necessarily because of crime, but it's because of the profile. I think these particular stations, some of them, they are carrying a profile that is supposed to be policed by three police stations. Now, part and parcel of the normalization immediately after they have stabilized is for us to increase the service delivery access strategy, to accelerate it, so that where there's been special development extensions or expansions in some of those stations, then we get other police stations so that we can stabilize the profile. Some of those stations, they will only then completely be on reduction the moment we have increased the service delivery access, because the special development stretch has taken place very extensively in some of the police stations, to such an extent that they are no longer able to extend policing to some of the geographical areas across. So, but that's in the normalization that is processed. Then on the signing of the crime stats, yes, the crime stats has been signed off by the DG of the SSA. And I also then want to correct myself on the 2.7% decrease. Yes, it is a 2.7% decrease of crime in the total 17 community related crimes. Then the one aspect that we also want to note and will take for compliance is the enforcement of the tracks of measures through the track companies to comply. Yes, we do have subrics with the banks, which is a structure that work together with us. We also have with the trucks a structure that is constituted by labor, transport, home affairs, and ourselves, including the trucking companies. Then we'll therefore enforce those particular measures. Then the strategy for the police to deploy more police in the so-called hotspots and other concerned areas. We also take note and we agree what we want to indicate at the present moment is that in terms of the national crime combating strategy, there's the stabilization resources are going to be withdrawn and redirected to certain areas which has been identified as new hotspots, because our intention is to stabilize all the hotspots. We've also noted the concern with regard to stock theft. Those stock theft is in a decrease at the present moment, but we are intensifying the stock theft units. I think the stock theft units are receiving the same priority as the FCS, because I have approved that we beef up their capacity through work study extensions. And then car hijacking has been noted as the crime which is very problematic at the present moment. But firstly, we have intensified the activation plan because it's a type of a crime that requires activation. But secondly, it is organized, and we activated the OCTA so that we concentrate on the organized criminals so that we can then be able to deal even with the markets that are promoting hijacking. And hijacking has been seen as a resourceful crime for other crimes. And as a result, the focus then there is that if we clamp it down, then we're also able to address or suppress the other crimes from taking place. We have also linked this type of crime to the safer city because it actually takes place more in the urban areas as well as in the township. Therefore, we're also using the safer city approach, which is by means of technology to address it. The pharma tax, yes, we want to confirm, we see it showing its head. We want to confirm the rural activation plan, which has been instructed working at the present moment. But we have also intensified the specialized units. I think I've signed off the work study for 6 specialized units so that those specialized units can come in and assist with a response. Then we've got dedicated investigations focused on the pharma tax. But from a rural's point of view, we're also mobilizing at the present moment the agricultural unions and the rural communities together, where we also implementing sector policing and as well as the neighborhood watches. We are also extending the community in blue concept to the rural communities, and we have also activated traditional policing concept in order to beef up rural safety. We therefore take note, Jefferson, of the fact that the types of crime that are taking place at the present moment are crimes that instill fear to the public. And secondly, they are also crimes that are driving the investors away from an economics point of view. And there are also crimes that are instilling fear to women and children. And we have also, apart from beefing up the FCS capacity, we're also linking up with the president, the committee that's dealing with gender-based violence, and we're at the moment operationalizing the gender-based violence strategy within the police so that we both provide a response. Lastly, we have also activated the police safety strategy to provide a response to those criminals that are killing the police on a daily basis. The other questions, Chair, are operational questions, and I would love for the statisticians to provide responses and the two deputy national commissioners and as well as the national head of Hawks. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, honorable members. The question that was asked with regard to is it witchcraft related and moti related? The witchcraft related is in an instance whereby a person is harmed because they are accused of either being a witch or practicing the witchcraft. Then in terms of moti related is the instance whereby the people are killed, and I use the example, for instance, whereby the body parts are harvested and they are used for multi-purposes. Then on the issue of the trucks, because currently when we look at trucks damaged and then banned, we are not using what other countries are using when we produce statistics. Other countries have adopted what are called the principal offenses rule, whereby if a number of crimes happened in one incident, they report only the most serious crime. Now, in South Africa, if a crime happens and there are a number of crimes that are committed within the same scenario or committed on the same person, in the South African context, we record everything. But other countries, they apply a specific rule which is called the principal offense rule, whereby they will record the most serious crime to avoid the issues of duplicating in terms of the crimes. But we intend to propose to the portfolio committee and the public in general that it is an ideal way to proceed, because this is an internationally accepted standard whereby you decide at what level do you record the crime, whether you report and record at an input level or at an intermediate phase or at the output phase. In South Africa, we are reporting at the input phase, where everything is reported to the police, it is registered, investigated, and then removed as an unfounded. In other countries, they report, they investigate, then after they register. So that is what is called the intermediate stage. Other countries report crime stage after they've been finalized at the courts. That is the convictions that are being asked of us to provide. And you will find that across all the crime stats capturing method, those countries that have adopted the input phase always are deemed to be the highest in terms of the commission of crime, solely because everything is registered and then investigated and then closed as unfounded at the later stage. With regard to the slide that is being asked, that we are told it's preliminary. Yes, it is preliminary, because that's the reason why we have included a footnote to alert members, because if we were to take the decision on our own that these numbers we have not yet verified by going to the police stations due to COVID-19, if we unilaterally took that decision, we might have been accused of trying to hide something. So the practice is we are making the committee aware that there are still possibilities, that there are cases that could have been closed off as unfounded. There are cases whereby we need to get to the physical dockets and verify and check and produce the correct numbers, which we have not yet completed. So now what we are doing is we are providing the preliminary numbers and we alert the committee that these, we have not completed the verification of such numbers, so that we are transparent upfront that these numbers are still going to be verified, and once they are verified, they will then be revised, which is a standard practice in statistics. Even when the Status A report on gross domestic product, which is made up of a number of surveys like manufacturing, CPI, and what have you, when one of those surveys are delayed, they continue and issue the GDP figures and inform the public that these figures are still missing a number of surveys which might have not been concluded at the time of reporting the GDP figures. And once those figures become available, they will then be incorporated into the GDP and the figures would be revised. This is the same practice that we have adopted in issuing these numbers, and we have become transparent. We issued an information,
a footnote to that effect, that once the situation clears, whereby we can have easy access to the police stations, to the dockets, because some of the police stations were closed because of COVID-19 and we couldn't get access to the docket. Rather, let's issue the statistics, and then once the situation improves, where we can have access to the docket, where we can have access to the police station, we will then issue a revision notice. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Lieutenant General Masemula would like to add.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Minister and Deputy Minister and Honorable Members. On the question of the protection orders, that they be included, I'm sure we'll discuss that with National Commissioner and then look at including it in the future. The availability of a register at each police station, yes, there is a register for protection orders at each police station, which indicates how many of them have been served and how many are yet to be served. That register is available at each police station. On the matter of the contribution of alcohol to crime, yes, we did close some of the liquor outlets. We know that is not yet sufficient. We, during our operations, we do close liquor outlets. Countrywide, we closed 89 liquor outlets for the financial year, where licenses have been revoked, of which in Northwest, there is about 6 of them where they were suspended and the license were later given back after a period of suspension, because sometimes they get suspended for 6 months or a year. So in total, we have then, if you minus the Northwest, 78 that remains revoked, and that's the activity, that's the action that we take with the various liquor boards when crime happens in those specific liquor outlets. Yeah, I think that is all the questions I have. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. There's a question that was directed to the National Head of Hawks, Lieutenant General Lubia, with your permission, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Sorry, honorable members, and GM and the team, the chairperson has to leave the meeting. There is something urgently that needs her at home. So I am going to chair the meeting if the committee members agree for now. Do the members agree?
Yes, I agree, Chairperson.
Chairperson, can I make the first of withdrawing and go for what I was supposed to? And I'll request that the National Commissioner stays and joins me later and take General Masemula and General Skopula with me.
Okay, Minister, you can do so. I did not have the list, or are you still responding? The department is still responding.
Thank you, Chairperson. Is Lieutenant General Levy at the National Head of the DPCI, and honorable members, as well as the Minister and Deputy Minister. Two questions were directed at the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation. The first one came from the honorable Mr. Whitfield, that relate to corruption and fraud relating to the politicians in that direction, that this case is, seems to be not appearing. In terms of the arrangement of the states, that subcategory is not included, but the cases themselves are part and parcel of the fraud and other matters. So I just needed to clarify on that one. The second question was coming from the Honorable Meshwe with regard to the conviction on police murders, as to how many convictions were secured in respect of this murders on police officials. I need to respond in this way. During the period under review, 67 arrests were effected on murder of police officials. This is in 30 cases. 59 of this were the cases that happened during this financial year under review. That is the murders where 59 arrests were effected, were committed during this financial year under review. 8 arrests were effected in older cases where the murders were committed in the previous years. So that makes 67 arrests in total during that financial year. It always happens that sometimes the effecting of arrest is done at a later stage. Like as an example, today, an accused person will be appearing for the first time in Kempton Park for the murder of a police official that took place in January 2018. So he is now joining the other 8. So that you have got now 9 accused that persons that will be appearing in that murder. So it normally at times take longer than expected. There was a question also extending to the convictions. There were 20 convictions that were secured during this financial year under review. And I need to mention that 8 of these were given life sentences. And in addition to the life sentences, 744 years were also meted out to this accused person. So the convictions themselves are not necessarily related to these new cases that shall have been committed in the financial year under review. I need to cite as an example one of the cases that where these 20 convictions refers to. In 2009, on the 22nd of October 2009, police officials were killed in Mthatha. Suspects were arrested, and then only on the 16th of May 2019, that is the 10-year period, where the accused person sentenced. The first one was sentenced to life imprisonment for murder, as well as additional years, that is 15 years, for the possession of firearm and armed robbery. The second accused in that same matter was sentenced to 20 years imprisonment for the murder and 10 years for robbery, as well as 8 years for possession of firearm and ammunition. That is in a combination will be 30 years imprisonment. This is in response to the murders of police officials and convictions. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Our last comment will be from General Mvazi on the investigation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, National Commissioner. General, my response will be actually more on the issues that relate with crimes of fear. As we have seen, the statistics are showing us that there is a little bit of an upward trend in as far as the issues that relate with murders and hijackings. I think when we have been designing our intervention on these specific ones, we actually look at the issues of the generators of this kind of crimes. More of our focus is on drugs, firearms, and stock theft, that the generators of these kinds of fear are actually drawn from those kind of crimes. In responding to these kind of crimes, also one other critical issue is the issue of looking at the gender-based violence. As the National Commissioner has actually indicated, that we need to organized crime units, also crime intelligence, to sit and discuss at that level of the province these issues that are actually related with organized crime. And also we have identified wanted suspect, because we have seen in most of these cases your hijackings, your business robberies, who are actually recycling one and the same criminals. Therefore, we are actually starting to develop and we have actually put that thing into practice, that to each and every province we identified most wanted criminals on a specific crime. Then
that is how we are approaching our cold case system. Therefore, this actually is one form of an intervention. And more so, quite critically, in the past financial year, as I've said, that we are looking at the generators of these crimes. We have actually recovered a lot of drugs. There are drug labs that were closed, and there's a lot of those kind of operations that we're doing. Only recently, we had an operation in Edenvale where we've recovered 25 kgs of crystal metal, and then with an amount of 2.5 million. In Cleveland, we've actually seized an amount of 20 kgs of cocaine that amount to 6 million. At Maidenville, White Police, we've seized an amount of 35.2 kgs of cocaine that amounts to 10 million. In Bragenfell, Case 37-6 of 2019, we've seized an amount of 134,313 mandrakes, 2.12 kgs of teak, 700 grams of cocaine, and also an amount of 8 kgs of dacha, inclusive of 2 AK-47s, 2 R5 rifles, and 4 firearms. Then this actually is a testimony of the fact that we are directing our operations so as to reduce the levels of crimes of fear. But of course, as I've said, that we have noted the fact that these kind of crimes are being generated by the availability of drugs, the availability of illegal firearms. Thank you, Chair. Thanks, General.
Yeah, thank you.
General.
Yeah, thank you, General. Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's just an indication in summary to say, as the minister has indicated, that we are presently flattening the curve, which is through the stabilization. The focus now is on multidisciplinary collaboration as well as community mobilization. And the nature of crimes, when we look at the root cause metrics as well as the modus operandi reports, I think it requires quite a lot of education and awareness that we need to do to the communities. The further focus, given the current situation, including COVID-19, it's also on the modernization of policing, where we're trying to make use of the online platforms, and then as well as introducing other approaches such as the safer city to revert to technology, the cybercrime response, and other related technology approaches. The last point, Chair, the domestic violence register. We are going to do the extract, but we will report it through the performance reporting, because it's not a dead issue, but we will generate that information for the portfolio committee through the normal performance reports that we present to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Can I recognize Honorable Redfield? Is there any person who wants to speak? Honorable Redfield. Are there any hands, honorable members? Okay, no. Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just need a clarity. The National Police Commissioner confirmed that the crime statistics had been signed off by Stats SA, and the gentleman, I think it's to the left of him, and I apologize, I didn't recall the name, said that the fourth slide are preliminary figures. So we can't be presented with preliminary figures. I then ask a question about the difference in the total rapes relative to rapes against women and children. I ask if this means that 40% of rapes are committed against men, and we don't get an answer. And I think this speaks to the issue of crime statistics being presented in a summary fashion to this committee. I hope that SAFS understood the question, and I would really appreciate an answer. Either we're dealing with official stats signed off by Stats SA, or we are dealing with preliminary figures. If we are dealing with preliminary figures, I'm not sure what the purpose of the meeting is, but I do need an answer as to why there is such a great difference between slide 1 and slide 4. Slide 1 says 42,000 odd rapes, and then we have a massive decrease when it's the slide on gender-based violence specifically. So there is a difference there. It needs to be answered, and if we can get that answer, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mufokeng.
Chairperson, can I just say that I am available because we're going for the next round, and my name was the first on the list, so I am available, but let's listen to the other honorable member.
Okay, can somebody call doctor, assist me with the people who are noted first, so that they don't jump other honorable members?
Chair, on the
second round.
Chair, honorable member is correct, and it was Faku, and it was also Shembeni.
Yes,
that's what actually I wanted to say to you. But Chair, on what Honorable Wilson was saying before Honorable Member comes in, I think I wrote here on the chat, I'm very worried about the state, and I actually made the same observation about what the Minister said and what the Honorable General has said. Now, it's very confusing, and it goes to the same, back to the issue of saying, in future, we must have the stats presented to the committee a day before the media release. At the moment, our responsibility of oversight, what is that responsibility? Because now we have too many questions than even answers. And if the minister was here, Chair, I was going to request that they should be released, and then we remain as the committee, because I'm really uncomfortable, I must say, and I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not going to be even asking questions now. But the explanation of the minister and the general is very worrying. Thank you.
Okay. Before you, let me welcome also the chief whip of the majority party to join our portfolio committee. I hear what you're saying, Honorable Mufokeng, but let's hear, it was Sunefal or is Faku first?
Thank you, Chair. I think it's first me. I have been covered by some of the questions asked, and I agree that we will have to thoroughly look into these statistics. My question, firstly, Chairperson, if we look at the causative factors of the categories of crime, I want to know, how do we distinguish between, for instance, arguments, misunderstanding, not related to domestic, and then domestic-related, that I understand, but when you come to retaliation and revenge, can I have a more comprehensive definition? How do you determine that causative factor? Because retaliation and revenge are also sometimes part of domestic violence. So is that excluded or not? And then I want to come to the farm murders, Jay, and then let I say again, I really appreciate the fact that we can now receive the far murder statistics for the last 3 years. That is the way it should be. But then I want to ask, I don't understand, we have 49 murders, but 46 number of incidents. Now, I want to know, what do we see as an incident? Can I have a proper definition of that? Because, I mean, a farm attack is also an incident, but this cannot be farm attacks because we have more than 400 farm attacks in that financial year. So if I can have clarity on the 46 number of incidents, and can I ask Chairperson that for in the future, if it is possible, that we can also get the statistics on the number of farm attacks. Lastly, I want to say on the farm attacks, I appreciate the approach from the Commissioner, what he has just said, and I know they're in the process with agricultural unions, neighborhood watches, and I do think that if that is the approach and we all come together and say that we see how we can fight this crime, we will succeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Fato.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let us welcome the statistics from SAP. I think one of the things that we need to appreciate is the decrease. We understand that crime is very high in our country, but let us appreciate the little that has been done. Let us welcome the stats that we've been given. But also, Chairperson, I see that this issue of gender-based violence, we might raise it numerous times, but it is important that we raise and emphasize on the importance of gender-based violence. But when Minister was making a media briefing, he emphasized to the police that no woman or children must be turned away from police station. We appreciate that commitment from the ministry. But also, let us appreciate the decrease on contact crime when it comes to children. I think it's -6%. Let us appreciate that. And I think that the general has explained the issue of preliminary verification due to COVID-19. I think as a committee, we've even said that after COVID-19, all the steps that are outstanding must come back. So let us welcome the steps that have been brought forward. But I'm just a little bit worried of the bullying in school, Chem. I think maybe SAPS must give us a detailed report on how this matter will be resolved in school. I think as a committee, we did have a proposal when it comes to bullying of school, because if you can see the numbers are high, maybe there must be an emphasis on that as well. Also on farm murders, we appreciate the report that we have received. Chairperson, the other issue that I've noted in the presentation is the issue of racism. As you know, that we're a non-racial society. I think also the stats are not that bad, but they are not above 100. I think it's 80-something, but it's a matter that we need to look into. Although the time is not enough, I wanted to plead with the members that let us accept the steps that we've been given and appreciate the effort that has been made by SAP. But of course, on the issue of gender-based violence, on the issue of farm murders, on the issue of bullying in schools, I think that must be corrected. But also, Chem, if you look at the crime stats currently, when you see where these crimes are happening, they are happening most of the time in our homes. These crimes are done by people whom we trust, which are our family members, which are our neighbors. So on that day that I was giving my speech, I wanted to say to Honorable Moshwe that it is important as churches that we don't blame the police. It is important that as religious leaders, they must make sure that they speak about these crimes that are happening, because these things are happening in our homes, in our churches, in places that we trust, especially when it comes to gender-based violence, Chair. But let us appreciate you for the report. I think we are going into a right direction as long as the committee is playing its role of oversight. I think we're moving into a right direction. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni, and welcome back, Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, National Commissioner, and everybody. Thanks for the presentation. Mine is with the detective services. I strongly believe that we need to prioritize this section, because as far as I see, in most cases we talk about visible policing, it seems we have prioritized that program, whereas a lot of things need to be investigated. Crimes are being committed, reported, and then they need to be investigated thoroughly. Now, I'm very happy because I heard now the commissioner speaking about six specialized units, because I was coming to that, because we must have murder and robbery units. We must have stand-ups. We must have this, all these other things, so that people can concentrate on the work that they do. And the most important thing, National Commissioner, and the minister is not here, I'm appealing that you take care of the detectives. Take care of the detectives. Detectives are withdrawing from detective services to visible policing because they think that people in visible policing are being taken good care of. Those people are working in detective services. So-called standby duties were withdrawn from them. I don't know who did that and by what. Because that person is not there. Those people are working day and night, holidays, public holidays, Christmases, and what. But they don't get remunerated. Instead, they must get rest days. It does not work like that. You cannot wake up during the night, go and attend murder and all these things, and at the same time, you will be told that you will get a rest day. It's not working like that. The person who's working in the CSC and the person who's doing detective services, they are almost the same. So we must prioritize. The detectives are playing a major role in investigating crime in South Africa. And they are carrying a lot of dockets. They are carrying a burden. When they go to sleep, they go to what they've got. Dockets waiting for them. We've got COVID, we've got what, we've got dockets that must go to court. They must attend to these dockets. But we are not taking care of these people. They are getting stressed. They are not resourced. We say they are playing with vehicles and doing this and that instead of motivating them. These people need to be motivated in this sphere of detectives. The investigation. This section needs to be prioritized. This section needs to get a budget that is better than other budgets. Because these people, they don't sleep. They must go around day and night investigating crime. But we are not taking care of that. Now, when it comes to visible policing, I sometimes find it very strange to drive on the N4 road for more than 300 kilometers, not finding a bug or anything visible, police on the way. That road is very busy. Criminals are using that road like nobody's business. But there are no police officers. And even if there are there police officers, these two police officers that you find there in a certain spot, you will find these two police officers for the rest of the year. What difference does they make? Because if you leave that person there, you don't have successes. It means he is doing nothing. You must change that person, get somebody else. But seemingly the management is not doing its job because people are not rotating. People now are owning posts. When you report, you know that you are going to work there. That's why you contact your contacts that I'll be reporting at 3. Now you can come and cross. Because you know that you will be reporting in this place every day. There are no changes. What management is that? Because people must be chopped and changed. There is nobody who must be comfortable in a position here. Nobody owns a position. We have got people who are owning positions. That's why they tell people that this is my station, this is my what, and they are doing nothing. We need to have some changes. Like now, when it comes to provinces, I think we must have reports whereby we get provisional commissioners to come and account, where they will bring their teams. When we ask detectives about their places of environment, where crime is being committed, where they cannot afford to stabilize the crime, they must tell us what is the problem. Is it about resources? Is it about what? I last asked about the capacity of the stations and the units. You find that there is a station or a unit that is a detective unit that is headed by a warrant officer who is more than 20 years in the rank of a warrant officer. People are being promoted left and right from him, but he is the detective commander. He's not being promoted, but his friends are being promoted from left and right. But he is there to manage that section. For how long? What is he going to do? Can you tell me, Mr. Commissioner? Are you expecting anything there? Nothing. There is nothing. These people need to be motivated. We need to change the strategy in the SAPS of how to motivate our members. Let us forget about this thing of promoting our friends to comfortable zones. Because there are people now that you cannot tell them what to do because they've got something against you. So that position where that person has been appointed, it's not because that he's capable of being there. It's because he has got something against the minister or the commissioner or whatsoever. That's not going to help South Africa. And let us not politicize the SAPS. Let us have a different approach in the SAPS. Chop and change. Let people not be comfortable in positions. I think the issue of the gender-based violence, as we have said, if we do the so-called, as I'm saying, the proper investigations, whereby we've got the conviction rates, detection rates, and all these things. I know that you have got accounting sessions, provincial and everywhere. These people are the ones that they must come here and sit in front of us and tell us what is their problem in their stations. Because now, when we generalize that the national commissioner will say, generally, the crime is this and that, it's not going to help us. Because if we are having a problem with the station commissioner at Nyanga, who is a lieutenant colonel or a colonel, or whereas it's supposed to be a brigadier there, we must deploy a brigadier with 4 full colonels and other lieutenant colonels and the like, so that these people can help the brigadier to do his or her job in the right place. Not that people must have comfortable zones. No, it's not going to work. And if you don't perform, you must be removed. Somebody must get to that place. They are specialized in it, like the special task force. Something wrong is happening there. Somebody was removed there, a white guy, with the purpose of transforming that unit. But that unit is getting from better to worse. People are owning that unit. ORS is out of order, it's out of control. Something must be done. I think the management of the SAPS must change its approach in all these things, especially the top management. National Commissioner, we need your help, we need your assistance, that you bring on board people that are going to help you solve the problem, solve the crime in South Africa. Let's forget about positions, let's forget about everything. I remember last time you talked about that there were people that were resigning as generals and you were not willing to replace them and the like. I was very happy. But now I can see people are getting promoted every day, right? It's fine. But you must be promoted for a reason. Not that you must be promoted, that you are being paid for something. It's not going to help us. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shebeni. I can see that at least you are healthy now from hospital, and we have been wishing you the speedy recovery, and show that you have recovered. You had a little bit of gaining strength. So, honorable members, I think also before we allow the team to respond also, because 11 o'clock they must, we have to close the meeting, is that I appreciate the multidisciplinary approach. It will assist. And also that you have now brought together the organized crime, the detectives and the intelligence and the investigations together. That will assist a lot, because if you look at the gender-based violence, which the president has declared a pandemic, that gives an instruction to the police that this is a priority of our government under the commander-in-chief, which is the president, that this must be treated seriously, like this serious crime. So I think it will assist, because most of the time we lose the cases because of investigations that were very weak, and the prosecutors and the judge, sometimes we blame them that, you know, we have presented a case, only to find that indeed our case was very weak because we did not tie it in it. So as the president has declared this gender-based violence as a pandemic, I think you need to look at this multidisciplinary way of approaching things. Also doing it with the gender-based violence, because here in the parliament, it's also our priority. And this portfolio committee is part of some of the committees that are dealing with gender-based violence. So we'll expect a lot of reports and action from the Department of Police. Lastly, it is just to say the president, if you remember when he spoke about rolling out the gang unit to other areas, in fact, nationally. But what surprises me is that this should be a priority of the president, and should be a priority by the police. It is incorrect, but it is that now the senior there, he is a major general, reduced from major general to a brigadier general, when gang crimes have increased in the state. So what is the reason of juniorizing that thing which the president said we must now make it national? Can I get responses from that? Woodfield, I don't know, Honorable Member, because we have to give. I see your hand is up, or it's not up. Okay. So that is what I wanted to say. Then maybe we can give the police to respond. National Commission. DM is still there.
Yes,
or should I give the National Commission?
You are not honorable, DM.
I want to. Okay. National Commissioner. National Commissioner.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, let me start with the first question, and I would also just like to put on a request today. The question of the difference in numbers in the two slides. I think one of the reasons why Stats SA signed the status official, it's because we raised the challenge that we've experienced with the stations which were closed down during COVID-19 due to infections. But there's an opportunity that we can go back and correct now this slide, because those particular police stations, they close for a moment and then they become operational again. But at the same time, there's also two versions of the crime stats. What we're presenting today is a short version. There's a longer version, which is far more detailed. Now, apart from this question, there's also other sentiments raised by other members of the committee with regard to more details needed on the crime stats for more debate. Therefore, my request, Chair, is that we be afforded the opportunity to go and correct this slide and also provide the longer version to the committee, so that when we reappear shortly, we come with the corrected versions of this particular slide, plus the long version. Then, Chair, if my request will be accepted, then, Chair, the arguments and the retaliations and revenge, I will explain the retaliations as territorial. Like, for instance, you'll find the gang territories and the syndicate territories. That's where you will normally find some retaliations from those types of criminal organizations, which are not domestic violence related anyway. And when you also get to KZN, you also get, in some of the political killings, we got some form of revenge taking place there. So those are the cases where you will have the retaliations and revenge through syndicates and as well as gangs and other related criminal formations. Then, Chair, the 46 incidents, I just want to explain the incidents, as in one incident, you are able to find more than one charge. Like, for instance, you may find a one crime incident, like a robbery residential, where there would be rape, there would be attempted murder, and there would be robbery of cash in the one incident. The same applies in Pharmatex. You would find in the one incident that they would kill, they will rape, they will take a car, and those are different charges that will constitute as such. But we have taken note of the fact that in future we need to record exactly the farm attacks. I think that would be done at Jefferson. And then bullying in school, I think at the present moment, Chair, we are reviewing the school safety, and we are planning to have a school safety and campus safety summit with the Department of both Basic Education and Higher Education. And one of the priorities over and above bullying is the school infrastructure, which is under attack at the present moment. We want to come with a specifically dedicated security plan. But then bullying is going to be a priority in that particular plan to provide a response. Then, Chair, the prioritization of crime detection, we actually want to appreciate the inputs and the direction from the committee. Firstly, I want to indicate that I have declared the restoration of the year of detectives. And that restoration goes with the resourcing of crime detection. And that resourcing is also intended to make sure that we correct the national norms with regard to the number of dockets carried by an individual detective. This will also include the technology. The last part of capacitating the detectives is with the Detective University, which is also at an advanced stage, where we are actually trying to improve the skilling. Then there was also mention made of the PCs taking accountability. I just want to indicate, Chair, that in the past, there were instances where the committee called us together with PCs where they had certain interests. But what I also want to further indicate was that the committee itself used to conduct some portfolio committee outreaches to specific stations of interest where they would like to ask certain questions and check certain of those things. I think we can appreciate if such could be done. We'll be open to it and we'll support it. And then with regard to the investigations, Chair, which become weak, I think we both noted this with prosecution, and we embark on an integrated plan which also involves justice. I think in all our investigations at the present moment, we have an integrated approach between ourselves and the prosecution. I am not sure, Chair, about Delft police station, whether was it referred to the reduction in rank at Delft. But what I want to indicate, Chair, is that Delft is one of the top 30 police stations, and those particular top 30 stations, they were all pronounced for upgrading to the rank of Major General. So there's no intention to downgrade Delft as a, and anyway, Delft is one of the notorious hotspots in the country. So I think if for any reason it might have been seen in that manner, it will be corrected. Thank you very much, Chair.
You are mute, we can't hear you. You are mute.
I don't know who muted me. So
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay, I've been speaking to myself. So did you hear when I said we welcome the presence of the chief whip of the majority party in the committee, in the meeting?
Yes, we did hear that. Thank you,
sir. Yes, that.
Okay, thank you. DM?
Yes, sir. No, thanks. We have responded. We will.
Okay. Okay, because I think your network is not good there today. Fine, thanks for the presentation. But I think members of the department, DM, you have heard the unhappiness of the members of the committee about the late receiving of the report and the time given to scrutinize. Our role is to play an oversight. It's not just to repeat, to just to receive the report and say go and present them to the public when we are not happy as the committee. The reason we are raising this is that we need time. It is to satisfy ourselves so that when you go out to the community and address the media, we are also happy that at least they have been able to respond to our questions satisfactorily. And where you have not done well, we are saying you have to go and do well, unlike having, you know, short time. It does not assist because when we walk out of this meeting, people will be issuing statements that, no, that's not true and not correct. So once we walk out of this meeting as a committee, we must be able to say that, yes, we received the report, we engaged the report constructively, we're not happy here and there, and the police have promised that they are going to correct this. One thing that we don't want in this committee is to politicize this committee. And this is a decision that we took from the beginning, that when we are not happy, we'll always call you to come and account. And you have been doing that as the department. And whenever we call you, you do appear before the committee. So the steps are very important because everybody will be talking about them today. So the briefing, we note it that you are going to, you have already started breaking the media. But I also want to congratulate the Nyanga Police Station from moving from top 30 of the stations which had high murder numbers to number 4. So that means there's some good work that is being done by the police in that particular area. So some of the police stations, I think, should go and learn how did Nyanga Police Station manage to turn it around from top 30 to number 4. That's a good, very good improvement. So whatever we've said, I think we have noted it. If we call you next time, just if we're not here with other things, as we have raised that, we need enough time when we deal with that. We don't just want to receive things and say, agreed, agreed, agreed. No, we want to scrutinize it, play our oversight, and when we are happy, we'll tell you why we are happy. When we are not happy, we'll tell you that we are not happy. But we are doing that in the interest of the country and as our role to play an oversight role. With those words, comrades, I just want lastly to just announce that is why you saw the chairperson leaving the chairing position. She has just lost her aunt, so she had to rush home. So I hope as a committee, we are putting her in prayers that she must have strength, and that may the soul of her aunt rest in peace. And I am not sure whether the members will do on their own to send messages to her, because when she left here, she was not very well. So that we encourage her, comfort her. She has been a very good chairperson to us, we know, and a very firm chairperson. So with those words, honorable members and DM and your team, National Commissioner, the meeting is adjourned. DM wanted to say something.
To pass our condolences to her on her aunt, but also to indicate her that we have taken note of what you have raised. Indeed, it's not appropriate that we must come and brief you on the statistics, and as we are busy discussing, we then go to a press conference and brief the public while we are still having engagement with yourself. Really not appropriate. We must interact with yourself, and when we are done, we can go and communicate with the public. But it sends mixed signals if we handle it the way we would like to apologize to the leadership of the committee on that we'll have to improve on how we do these things going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. Therefore, honorable members and DM and your team, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.